You've heard the word of the Lord, the gospel lesson today from Matthew 11, 25 to 30. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, our rest. Amen. In the name of Him who loved us even unto death and life, dear fellow celebrants of new life in Christ, are you getting tired of it? All you hear about is it. It keeps you locked up inside at home, or if you have to go out, you see it, you hear it, and then all the arguing about it, and you think I'm talking about coronavirus. What if there's something worse than it? What if there's a sickness that has a 100% kill rate? And what if it's actually true? Not from false tests, but actually true. That 100% of the population are infected with this. Do you suppose God is deaf? Do you think He does not hear how our culture loves to deny His very existence? But just listen. When anything goes wrong, somebody's there to say it's God's fault, or somehow question God's love and His power. You've heard all that. And don't think the American culture is the only one asking it. So the really highly intellectuals are telling us that, and for generations now, that we all evolved from slime. So what is your life worth? And if it really is the rule of the survival of the fittest, then why shouldn't those who have the power take advantage of those who don't? Sickness. This sickness was there before January of 2020, or whatever date you want to pin on it. This goes back to the very beginning, and you know it. This sickness that God is calling us away from today, because this is what makes us really, really tired. And not just physically, but spiritually, deep inside our souls. This is where the fatigue is, and the Lord's Apostle Paul knew all about it. Because the Lord's Apostle Paul tells you who are weary, in his letter to the Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good. For we will all reap a harvest at the proper time if we do not give up. This is the Lord's proper time, at this time. And our dear Lord wants to give us a gift that the whole wide world would never know about, and neither would we if this gift were not revealed. It's revealed by God's own Son, who speaks words here that are also recorded in Luke chapter 10. This is Matthew 11, but Luke chapter 10 tells us that Jesus was just bursting with joy when He said this. This is what makes God really happy. I want you to notice as I read this that there are really only two groups of people. Only two. This is absolutely and totally true according to the one who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See if you can pick out the two groups. Bursting with joy at that time, the proper time, Jesus continued, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the clever and learned people and have revealed them to little children. Did you catch that? There's the clever and the learned, and then there's the little children. Which group do you want to be in? I mean, how long has it been since you said, I wish I were older? Some of the young guys, maybe yesterday. I don't know. I wasn't there to hear David. I don't know if you said it. But I can remember saying it, although that was a long time ago. Most of us get to a certain point. You don't say, I wish I were older. I am 65 and a half years old. Not really. I'm actually really close to 63. But who's counting, right? But look at what the Lord Jesus says. He turns it around and says that that first group of the clever and learned, no, that's where God loves to hide this gift from. The little children? How serious was Jesus about this? If you ever get a chance to travel in Israel and you go up and stay on the Sea of Galilee, you'll more than likely stay in the resort town of Tiberias. It was a resort town in Jesus' day. In fact, there's nothing in the Gospels that ever says Jesus went there because it was a Roman city. He went to all the other places which he talks about. But at night, in Tiberias, looking out at the Sea of Galilee, about the size of Lake Mille Lacs, you can see the lights of modern towns that are right by the ruins of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Cities of his fellow Jews to whom Jesus said, woe to you. When God says that, you know you're in the first group. The clever and the learned, who rejected their time of grace when God was there in the person of his own son. And Jesus warned them over and over again. And I pray to God that no one hearing this or hearing God's word today will reject the invitation when it comes. Tomorrow may be too late. God never says tomorrow. He always says today. This is the opportune time. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He wants us to be like little children. He says about these little children, it must not be really a matter of age, because it was to his adult disciples that he said, unless you turn, more literally, unless you are turned and become like little children, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. He was saying this to Nicodemus, that Pharisee, fellow Jew that came to Jesus at night and has all sorts of questions about this rabbi. And Jesus says, unless you are born again, or born from above, both good translations, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He keeps warning about that, and he attaches this born again to baptism. Titus 3, 5 to 7. The Holy Spirit's born again washing of rebirth and renewal. God poured this out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's not a matter of works. He says that right before that verse. Born again, baptism. And he also says, in spite of what so many churches in the world today say, there's no age limit on this. No, not from God anyway. In his Great Commission, we heard of that in a sermon a few weeks ago. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, disciple all the ethnic groups wherever you go by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the ethnic groups, teaching them to guard and treasure all things as many as I have commanded you. Surely I'm with you all the days this day that the Lord has made. The Lord is with us to the gathered goal of the age, he says. He's calling us to have this gift revealed. Imaginary, hopefully for all of you. I hope this has never happened to you, but imagine you're involved in a 60-car pileup. Everything is just a twisted mess of wreckage. Blood, death, suffering. How quickly can you extract yourself from a twisted wreck and go find your own help at the hospital? Is that even possible? If you're wandering along the road, If you got out, where are you going to find help? Aren't you glad? Aren't you grateful for the men and women, the first responders who are constantly running in while everyone is running out? Don't you wish we had more of them? More like that? Because what are you going to do if you're trapped? Now, is it possible that these angels among us, as we sometimes call them, really have their counterparts in the invisible world where there are angels from God that watch out and maybe keep you from ever being in some kind of accident like that? Like maybe you're going too fast, but there's all the red taillights up in front. What do you do? It's instinctive. Hit those brakes. Total strangers, though. People that we don't really know personally. We have members who were traveling in a distant state, and one was sick, called 911, said within minutes there were strangers there. Paramedics, CMTs, ministering, helping, caring. We thank God for them even more now because they're putting their lives at risk constantly to care for the sick in this time of the virus. But God knows there's something worse, this 100% kill rate, this 100% infection. The Lord says the soul that sins will die. The wages of sin is death. So, again, what are you going to do? What are they going to do? If you're in an ambulance and you just won't lie still, you keep thrashing about trying to take care of your own wounds. You try to drink anything that looks like liquid. You keep complaining about the way they're trying to care for you. They basically have two choices. They're going to either sedate you, or they're going to have to leave you die on the edge of the road. Too much compassion from God. He would not leave the human race to die on the side of the road. In Revelation, he calls them angels to all seven churches, the messengers that God sent to give this gift revealed. Because no one will ever find it themselves. Jesus says, "Yes, Father, this was pleasing to you to hide it from the wise and learned, the clever, and then reveal it to little children." He says, "Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." When he turns us around and converts us, that's the Latin word for conversion, is just turned us around. We're not sinners now running away from God into sin. We're sinners running away from sin to God. Because we keep on hearing this gentle whisper across the ages from him who keeps on saying, "Come to me. Come to me." This rest revealed, he wants it to be rest received. And sadly, one of the worst things getting in the way of people these days are all the pundits out there who are trying to tell people it doesn't matter what you call him, or if it isn't even a him or even an it. You know the story. You're hearing it. Who knows if there is a God? Who knows who that is? But even the little children, only the little children who receive it from the Lord, God's Son, born of the Virgin, born under law, come to reveal to us this great gift which the world cannot give. This is the Lord calling you away from all the arguments, from all the strife of tongues in the media, the Lord calling you away from your own sickness on the inside that comes out in grudges and bitterness. And isn't it true for us older Christians, the longer we're around, the more difficult this is. You fight those battles in your memories now. Things that come to mind and you just don't want to even remember. What will you do? Listen. Listen to that voice. He keeps saying, come. He keeps saying, come. Because there is a rest that we desperately need. We prove it in our homes when we get so upset with each other. We prove it in our churches when we write each other off instead of listening and discerning the difference between human opinion and the very Word of God. We prove how desperately we need this gift from God when instead of praying for our officials, we badmouth them. God commands us to pray. I say we, because I know the feeling. I know the frustration of trying to serve members in facilities that are so totally locked down, they won't even let the pastor in. I beg God for His mercy. I beg God for ears to hear like a little child, so that I don't, in my anger and frustration, you know what I'm saying, end up creating more harm than good. It says that the wrath of man does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Our frustration doesn't help. But He who came from heaven to live in this mess with us, to feel it, know it by experience, and then call us out of it, He knows the way. He is the way. And this is what He says. Come to Me, all you. Come. Just come. This is like you being in a burning building and the fireman's at the window and he shouts at you, come. If you're able, you'll come. If you can't, He's going to carry you out. Come. You. He knows you. You heard it twice in that Old Testament lesson from Exodus when the Lord told Moses, and He says it to us too, I know you by name. Jeremiah, don't you say you're just a little child. I've known you by name from when you were born. And before you were born, David, who confesses, I was sinful, I was me. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. God knows us as soon as life begins at conception. He knows you by name from all eternity. In Romans chapter 8, the Lord loves to lay this out for us. Ephesians chapter 1, you can read those verses there. That He planned by name for you to hear and be turned by this word of life. So He just says it simply as possible, come. Come to Me. Because only the Son of God can reveal this, and only through the Son of God can this be received. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened. He knows what it feels like. I mean, how much more weary could someone be than to be on a lake like the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm? My wife and I got to go out with a group of Indonesians. There were four groups together that had not met each other before, and they didn't know us, but our group was two. So they put us together with all these Indonesians out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. This was pretty awesome. They cleared back all the chairs and just started dancing to Christian music. This was their way of worship. And a young woman came over and she was translating for us so that we wouldn't, you know, the minority there, we wouldn't be left out in the cold. Wanted us, and the waves started to come up as the wind started to blow. And I was thinking about my Lord Jesus asleep in the back of a boat from the weariness of coming and living in this. So that His disciples, and I would have been right there with them, Lord, don't You care that we're going to drown? Don't You care? Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened. He gets up, rebukes the wind, it grows calm. And we survived the wind on the Sea of Galilee that day too. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you. He knows you don't have anything to pay for this. I've got nothing, nothing but my sin, my wretchedness. If Paul had to say that, wretched man that I am, oh wretch, sinful wretch that I am, don't I all the more? But what's the answer? Come to me. All. No exception. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you realize that for centuries God pictured that in the Sabbath rest, the command that God gave his people not to work on the seventh day, and don't you sit at home either. Come, hear the word of God. In those days they didn't have live stream where you could actually hear it at home and hear it in recordings. You had to come. They had to assemble. That was the point of the Sabbath. But it was all pointing ahead. It was foreshadowing the coming of the one who says, I will give you rest. The one who is the Sabbath rest. God's own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I will give you rest. Come and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. As he holds out his hands, if you could see them in person as his disciples did, after he rose again, those nail marks, the scars are still there, trophies of his victory, where they nailed him to the cross for you and for me and for all. Come to me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Somehow he could suffer all that misery, not just physically, but in the depths of his soul, forsaken by God, so that you and I would never have to be forsaken. And still say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you and I ought to just stop thrashing about, stop looking for other things to fill that emptiness in our heart, and come to him who says, I will give you rest. He just wants to give it, so that in the depths of your heart and soul, you can rest in the Lord's forgiveness, in his grace, his mercy, dearly bought at the price of God's own Son. The blood that he shed voluntarily, willingly, from all eternity to eternity, to give you rest. That's why he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The commandments that once condemned us, that we could not even fulfill in a single word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We couldn't do it. Still can't. Not perfectly as demanded. But Christ did. And then gives it to us. And then washes away every time we failed to love God and our neighbor. With that blood shed for you, doesn't that make everything God say just turn from threat and anger to joy and gladness? How can I say thank you to the God that loved me that much? I eagerly come back to his commandments. I study them to see what he has fulfilled in Christ and what still applies in the New Testament, but now with a totally new spirit. Instead of guilt, it's gratitude. I am so grateful for this rest. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Come, and I will give you rest. Amen.